The Siege of Vienna, 1683. The March to Vienna begins, 1682. Now, the Ottoman army, the soldiery, including the formidable body of the Janissaries, were naturally of the faction, which promised them blood and plunder. The strong party, which appealed by various methods against the injustice of the war, was silenced with harsh measures. By the autumn of 1682, the army was in motion, under the immediate command of the vizier, and accompanied by the mufti and the principal dignitaries of the empire. It was halted and encamped for the winter at Adrianople, to refresh the contingents which had marched from the more distant Asiatic provinces, and to prepare for effective operations in the spring. Here also it was joined by the Sultan. The pomp and expenditure whose progress, and especially the 100 carriages devoted to the female portion of his retinue, moved the soldiery to rough with the practice of Murad IV, who took the field with one wife and two pages. The army had to contend with those autumnal rains, which more than once had impeded under the great Suleiman the progress of similar expeditions. The superstition of the people interpreted these incidents of climate into omens of failure. But the vizier, though his own tent was swept away by an inundation, which on the first night after the troops were halted ravaged the camp, was unshaken in his purpose, and the horse tails continued being planted before the royal residence in the direction of Hungary. The tedium of winter quarters was relieved by a royal chase, for which 30,000 peasants were collected to drive the game. In other words, these people would then be the beaters and make noises and whatever and move the animals towards the Sultan and his party. The results, if the beaters themselves are not reckoned, was small. One wild boar, 6 roes and 30 hares. But a much larger number of the beaters died of exhaustion. Where the Sultan met with their corpses, he observed that they had probably spoken ill of him and had met with their reward, a safe and satisfactory assumption. In the following spring, while the army was mustered in the presence of the Sultan, another violent storm occurred, which, among other exploits of its fury, carried off the turban from the head of the sovereign. Undeterred by this omen, the Sultan accompanied the march of his army as far as Belgrade, where on May the 12th he received the ambassadors of Tekle. Here, however, he also received intelligence of an event which could, his Arabian soothsayers have predicted its results, might still have made him pause in the prosecution of the purpose. This was no less than the signature of the alliance between the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and Austria and John Sobieski, the King of Poland. On the following day, the Sultan committed the green standard of the Prophet Muhammad, and with it the chief of command, to the vizier, Mustafa Kemal, who undertook the further conduct of the campaign uncontrolled by the presence of a master, who had no taste of his earlier ancestors for the fatigues of the march or the dangers of the field. The strength of the regular force with which he took the field is known with accuracy from the muster rolls which was found in his tent in the lines in Vienna. So we know that the total strength of the regular troops in the Ottoman army coming after Vienna in 1683 was 275,000 men. The attendants on baggage, camel, horses were never numbered. It would be difficult to calculate. If we add the force which afterwards joined the Turks under Tekle, including 12,000 Tartars, 13,000 Janissaries, and 2,000 Saifa cavalry, the accounting in all to about 60,000 men, we cannot estimate the numbers which poured into Hungary at less than 400,000. The approach of the Turkish army, followed upon his own successes, excited the pride of Tekle to the utmost. He assumed the title of Duke of Hungary and threatened with banishment and even death all who should fail to appear at a diet which he summoned to be assembled at Krasnau. He struck coins, now extremely rare, with his own likeness and the legend Americus cum Tekle in Kasmarki, Dux Ugare, and on the obverse a naked sword with the words Prodeto et Patre. Several French officers and engineers served in his forces. In pursuance of the unworthy policy of Louis XIV, whose jealousy of the House of Habsburg rejected no means, however disgraceful, and no ally, however discreditable, and overlooked all the evil consequences to Christendom of the success of the schemes he was supporting. The last proposals for peace conveyed to the Austrian court by Tickly, by Baron Sapomara, were completely rejected out of hand. At Essex, where he was received with royal honors by the vizier, he accepted at the hands of the latter his investiture as the Prince of the Kingdom of Hungary, which he acknowledged subject to the Porte of the Ottomans. With all his pomp, and after all his exploits, he was but what John Cipolla had been before him, a scourge in the hand of Providence to a miserable country, a tool and a cat's paw to the Sultan, and basically the Sultan's slave. Well, what's going on in Austria? December the 8th, 1682, the servants of Count Caparra had reached Vienna with the tidings of an enormous preparation by the Ottoman Turks. The reports from Hungary were also unfavorable, and the necessity for immediate measures of defense was palatable as it was urgent. The first request was, of course, for money. It was sought to impose a 1/100th part of the means of the higher and lower nobility and of the clergy. Now, clergy is usually exempt from such burdens, but considered liable in the case of the invasion by an enemy of Christendom. It was, however, to Poland that Austria now looked with the deepest anxiety, though it must have been with profound reluctance, and at first with little expectation of success. The fate of Hungary, at least, and of the Austrian capital hung, however, on the success of Austrian diplomacy with the great soldier, namely John Sobieski, who was now King of Poland. His neutrality alone would have left both to a certain fate, and even that neutrality was hardly to be depended upon, for at a recent period French officers in the service of Tickly had been allowed to commence the levy of a force in Poland for the support of that dangerous ally of the Turks. Mohacs, the famous battle, had been lost by the defection of John Cipolla. John Sobieski, as a leader, was much superior to Cipolla. After all, he had 20,000 Sarmatian cavalry, which he and he alone could bring into the field, that were superior to Zapola's Transylvanian cavalry. So, at any rate, the Austrians, at least the Turks, are aware of the fact that the Austrians will come to an alliance with Sobieski, although they're not really happy about it. And we'll see how that goes, because quite frankly, most people did not believe that Sobieski would be able to get to Vienna in time. Now, the sources for this part: The Siege of Vienna, The Bulwark of Christendom by Schimmel, Great Sieges by Meligari, Enemy at the Gates by Wheatcroft, Sword and Scimitar by Ibrahim, and The History of the Ottoman Empire by Howard. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question. Leave a comment, check out the merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.